Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm excited to be in this series, Christmas Isn't Canceled, because with everything going on, I'm sick of everything being canceled. I'm sick of going places that they say you can't go in, and in fact, I remember being so excited to be in Branson to go. I was going to go eat at Chick-fil-A, and I went there, and their dining room was closed. I was like, who closes the dining room? I want my Chick-fil-A. I didn't get my Chick-fil-A that day. So we went to Steak and Shake, I think it said, but you know, you get your heart set on all this stuff, and then you go, these events are canceled, and you wonder what's happening, what's not happening, and I think there's a band concert coming up, but not everybody can go, and it can only be 30 minutes long, because heaven forbid we go longer than 30 minutes. If you're there longer than 30 minutes, you immediately catch something, which is fine, but if this is your kid's year, you want them to shine like a diamond. And if it's your grandkid, no one shines brighter than that kid. And so you want these things to go on. And so when it comes to Christmas, I want you to know, whether we did anything here or not, you can't cancel Christmas. They tried at the very beginning, and we already know that. It didn't happen. Even when Mary, this 14-year-old girl, could have really shied away from everything, instead, she seized the attitude and the atmosphere of Christmas with all she had, and she said, whatever the angel said, let it be so. And that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to talk about a real trial for somebody, Joseph. What would you do if you were Joseph? What would you do if you just got the news that your fiance is now pregnant, but she said she's not been with anyone else? And you've never seen anything like this before. There has never been before, and there's never been since, a miraculous virgin birth. But here, he's dealing with this. Everybody needs somebody to believe in them. And that's what's so powerful about Joseph. The title of my message today is Believe the Best. I think that if it sums up anything, Joseph had an attitude to treat people well, regardless of how he felt like he was being done. Everybody needs someone like that. Everybody needs someone to believe in them, especially when undertaking difficult and unusual situations in their life. And if there's ever been a difficult and unlike normal situations in life, it's been right now. Nothing is normal. Did you ever think that you would debate whether to go to Thanksgiving or Christmas with your family for your family's health? Or did you just think you would, of course you would go? You know, nobody ever thought you'd want to keep your parents safe. They think they want to keep you safe. And we have these debates. Should we go? Should we not go? We've already had that question with our family. Should we go? And we got threatened if we didn't go. No, not really. They didn't really threaten us. But, of course they want to spend time with us. Our family does. And so we had that debate. Do we go to Texas? Do we not go to Texas? Do we stay here this year? Do we do the unusual thing? And so today I want to talk about Joseph and how Joseph believed the best, treated people the best, and how he took care of Mary. During the lifetime of Jesus, we see that there's many things that Jesus had to borrow in life. In fact, when you look at Jesus' life, at his very birth, he had to borrow a place to sleep. He had to borrow a manger. He had no place to rest his body. There was a time in his ministry where he had to borrow a lunch because he didn't have no lunch. And so he says, who's the junior high kid with the lunchbox, with the fish and bread? Let's borrow that. There was a time where he had to borrow a donkey so he could ride into Jerusalem. And at the time of his death, there was a time where he had to borrow a tomb. And so it just seems so fitting that when Jesus was born, God was looking for someone to father his son. And he said, I need to borrow a dad for Jesus. And he chose Joseph. You got to think about it. When you're choosing a vessel to house the Messiah, you don't need just a good mother. You need a good father. A father who will set a tone for the house, a father who would be accepting, a father who is a good man before you, the Messiah comes, not just afterwards. And so that's what we're looking here. As we look at this, Joseph was a borrowed dad for the Messiah. And so we dive into it in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be in chapter 1 today, verses 18 through 25. It says this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, or to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, she was still a virgin, and she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. which is thinking concept for Joseph, but he dealt with it well. But in this stage right here, we have three steps to the Jewish wedding. Last week, we talked about the first one. It's the actual engagement, the contract. It's where two families get together, and they choose the kids that will be together, and they agree upon certain things, and they say it's going to be done. So isn't it great that the parents got to choose who the kids are going to be married to? Woo! Let's go back to the old days. Y'all laugh, but wait. You know, we're not going to get into dating versus courting today, but that's another conversation for another day. But man, when you take all the emotion out of dating, can you imagine what it would be like if parents could help their kids out? No, you don't want them. Why? Yeah. Then there's the second step, which is the betrothal step. This is where Mary and Joseph were. It was a period of about a year. They would go and they would learn about one another. They would prepare a house together. In fact, it was the job of the bridegroom to go and prepare a place. And it's interesting that when Jesus left us, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not true, I would have told you." Why? Because he is the groom coming back for his bride one day, which is our blessed hope. And so that's what he's doing. He's going to prepare a place for us. And that's what Joseph's job was to do, is to go prepare a place, to get things ready. And Mary's job was to learn to be a wife, a good, proper Jewish wife, learn the traditions, learn what to do, what Joseph liked, what he didn't like, how to be a good homemaker. And this was all the eyes of the Jewish community looked at him as though they were already married, because they were married in every sense of the word except for the fact that they could not have sexual relations. So for 1 year, they would act as a married couple. They would be known as a married couple. In fact, in order to break off this part of the engagement, they had to go through a divorce. They literally had to go through a divorce to break the contract that they were with one another. So it's quite the undertaking. And so the Jewish eyes were looking upon them, and so this term would come from the idea that if a husband died during the time of the betrothal step, she was known as a virgin widow, which means she was still a virgin, but she was a widow because she had been technically engaged, and they were known to be married with one another. And so if you look at this betrothal period, you had to do the rite of divorce, and so they did everything. They were married in every sense of the way except for no sexual relationships. And then there was the marriage itself. And at the end of the year, the man and wife would come together, it'd be a small ceremony, and they'd be married together in every sense of the word. And so today we're going to focus on Joseph and several things I appreciate about him, knowing and finding out what he finds out about Mary. In verse 19, it goes this: Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. The very first thing that I value about Joseph is I value his relationship with God. He was a righteous man. He was a righteous man that whenever he found out, and he found out that she was pregnant with someone else's child, obviously not his, and she says it's the Holy Spirit, he doesn't know what to do, but he's already realizes that she's pregnant, and he decides to do one thing. He decides to put her away privately because he wants to protect the reputation of Mary. Now, this doesn't seem normal for us, because what do? If we find out this happened, we say, how can I blast this on Facebook? How can I let everybody know on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, that how bad I've been done, so everybody will feel bad for me and give them the hard time that they deserve because they cheated on me? But Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph decided to do what was right, and so it caused him to do two things because he was a righteous man. It caused him to treat Mary very well, and even when he didn't have to, because the Bible says he desired to put her away privately. He could have openly disgraced her, but he decided not to. But Joseph was a righteous man, so he treated her well. And the second thing is, he didn't break God's law, because the second thought he could have had is like, well, everybody already thinks it's my child anyway. What does it matter? Why abstain any longer? Why go through the rest of this engagement process abstaining from sex when everybody already thinks this is my child, so I might as well go ahead and do it? But he didn't want to break God's law. So Joseph still remained separate and did not engage with Mary. In fact, it's hard because when you really think about it, the closest people to us most often test our relationship with God. It's the people closest to us that test our relationship the most. It's those people that you love and you interact with day in and day out that usually cause you to struggle with that relationship. Verse 19 goes on. It says, Joseph, who was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break off the engagement quietly. I love it because what I value about Joseph is his attitude towards Mary. Because he didn't want to do all these things, and it's very interesting, the next phrase we break into in verse 20, it says, as he considered these things. So he didn't want to disgrace her publicly, and he's deciding what to do with her, so he's considering it. He's pondering in his heart. He's pondering in his mind, what can I do to not disgrace her, to not humiliate her, and do right by her without proceeding with the engagement? So he was thinking, how can I deal with Mary the best? I got to tell you, that takes a lot of great character. How many of us would be willing, if we feel like someone's been unfaithful to us, to go out of our way to treat them well, to make sure nobody looks down upon them, that no one disgraces them, that no one talks bad about them, and that you do everything you can within your power to make sure that they're still thought of well? What an incredible thing. Joseph was pondering in his heart, what should I do? He was hurt. He was just like anybody would be. He obviously didn't think that child was of the Messiah at first, because that's why he wanted to put her away privately. So he's hurt. He's disappointed. He's confused. And yet Joseph wanted what was best for her. Here's what we got to understand. Your reaction really shows your Christianity. It's how you react to people that shows if you're really a Christian. It's how you react. It's not our actions that really show our maturity in God. It's our reactions. It's that moment. How do you respond? How do you do it when someone's immediately been hateful and someone's immediately been spiteful and someone immediately does something wrong to you? It's very obviously they have it out for you. It's an employer. It's a spouse. It's a person that you know very well, a family member, and it seems like they always have it out for you. How you react, how you respond, is so important. The normal reaction is, how will this affect me? But Joseph said, how will this affect Mary? I want to be like that. I want to be able to treat people so well that I don't say, how's this going to make me look? How's this going to make them look? How's this going to make them look? If I don't want to make someone else. I remember growing up, and there was a season where it seems like everything was to blame on your spouse. And it seems like wives would get around other women and they would talk bad about their husbands, and husbands would get around other men and they would trash their wives, and then they would go on like they love each other. I think, how does this make people look? I want to walk away. I want people to feel good about my wife. I want everybody to believe that she's the greatest thing in the world, because she is to me. Her birthday's tomorrow. Had to get it in somehow. I'm telling you, there's something great about thinking the best in people and looking the best and thinking, how can I make them look better and not worry about what people think about me? Nothing is more revealing about the maturity or about our maturity than the way we respond to our problems. Nothing than how we respond to our problems. Verse 20, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Wow. Let me tell you, one of the things I value about Joseph is his sensitivity to God. I think most of us would woke up and said, was that the pizza I ate last night? You know, surely, what do you mean the Holy Spirit? This has never happened before. God's never done this before. Why would this all be the way now? Surely I'm just replaying what she told me in my mind about what happened. Because I'm trying to believe the best in her, I'm just starting to make myself believe it's true. But he didn't do that. He was so sensitive. And I'm amazed at the sensitivity of Joseph at this point, because it's hard to be sensitive to God when things are rough. I began to write down a few things here that when it's difficult for us to listen to God and be sensitive to God. The very first time is when we've made our own plans. When you've already made your plans, you've already made your mind up, it's difficult to hear from God. It's hard to hear from God when you're emotionally involved with the problem. Haven't we all been emotionally involved with the problem, and then you don't want to change your plans, you don't want to change anything, because all of a sudden there's an emotional connection? When risk is involved, when God's plans don't make any sense or other people won't understand, these are when it's difficult times to hear from God. Verse 22 goes on and it says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and the Lord and took Mary as his wife. I tell you what I value, Joseph's obedience to God. He was so obedient. Listen, he might question Mary, but he never questioned God. I'm telling you, there ought to be some men in here that ought to wake up and just say, you know what? I may question a lot of things, but I should never question God. When God says go, I should go. When God says stand up, I should stand up. When God says take a stand on certain issues, I need to take a stand on certain issues. There are things. See, Joseph was constantly, in fact, very few things are actually written about Joseph. But every time it is, there's an act of obedience that follows when Joseph. In fact, four times in scriptures, we find God interacting with Joseph. And when he did, immediately he took action. We find that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 through 24, when he says Joseph took Mary to be his wife. We find it in chapter 2, verse 13 through 14, when they fled to Egypt. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 through 21, when they returned to Israel. And we find it again in Matthew 2, 22, when he went to Nazareth. Each time as the Spirit prompted him, he immediately obeyed what the Lord said. It was one of these fascinating, amazing things. This is the key to me. If anything could have canceled the idea that Christmas was going to happen, if Joseph would not have put her away, wanted to put her away privately, and then listen to the Holy Spirit, been sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and then being obedient to God at any moment, people would have begun to form ideas about Mary to the point that there would have been a cost for Mary. And we even talked last week, even to the point of maybe even death. And then where would Christmas be? Where would be Christmas if Joseph had not been involved with this situation? He was ready at a moment's notice to obey God. I wonder sometimes are we. Regardless of what the command is, God spoke, Joseph would listen, Joseph obeyed. Verse 25, it says, but he did not have sexual relations with her until the son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. You know what I love about Joseph is his desire to glorify God. See, we don't hear much about Joseph. Everything that you can find about Joseph, I have just told you in this story. Have you ever wondered what happened to Joseph? Many people believed he died because he wasn't present at the crucifixion. And there was later on in life where you don't see much of him. He wasn't at the cross and you don't see him interacting. The only things you can find about Joseph are written in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2 and in Matthew chapter 13 are the only references you're going to find about Joseph. But here's what I want you to understand. I believe that Joseph greatly influenced Jesus. I believe that Joseph, the borrowed dad that God gave Jesus, greatly influenced him. Because what I want you to notice is these five characteristics that I just mentioned, that I just went off with you, are the characteristics that we see in Jesus. Look at it. His importance of a right relationship with God, the Father. His healthy attitude towards women. His sensitivity to listen to God. His obedient heart and his desire to glorify God. These are all of the strongest, five of the strongest characteristics that you find in Jesus. You find in Joseph. Even though you don't read a lot about him, it's amazing the impact. Listen, never underestimate the influence of a borrowed dad. Some of you guys are stepdads and stepmoms out there. Never underestimate your influence. You can make a huge difference you let God use you. As we close, I want you to know this. I want you to encourage you today that Joseph, he believed the best in people, and I believe that's what he wants for us. God wants us to believe the best in the people around us and encourage them. If Christmas is anything, it's a time for miracles, and it's a time for believing the best and having hope. During this season, as we're going through all the things that we're going through life, through situations, and we're feeling the turmoil and the chaos, and we're getting overwhelmed by everything that's going on, if there's anything that I can tell you, it's begin to believe the best and encourage one another in the Lord, because God has got a plan for you. I believe that if we will continue to press in and seek God's heart and seek God's will, I believe God's going to use you to make a significant impact on this world around you. As you're interacting on your job, as you're interacting with your family, as you're interacting with your distant family, as you go and spend Christmas season with people, they're watching you. And how you react is so important. I'm so thankful that our church has been reacting well. When it comes to a warming station, we're showing Christ, and so that the least and those that are hurting among us that are cold and don't have a place to stay have a place to stay, have a warm dinner for the meal. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have a church that stepped up and makes sure that no kid does without a Christmas. I am so thankful for a church of people who love people so much that when people get COVID, before we even check on them, people are already bringing meals over to their house and taking things over there and seeing how can they can care for one another. I'm thankful for a church that is doing what you're doing already, and that's loving one another. In 2021, you're going to hear us say this over and over and over and over again. That our theme for 2021, and I know it's not Vision Sunday, it's none of that, is going to be life is better together. Because in a year that has shut down our relationships and our connection with one another, we need one another more than ever before. We need one another's calls, text, visiting. We've got so many wonderful people that's been making this church their home, and we haven't had a newcomer's lunch in forever because of COVID. But I'm telling you, beginning January 1st, 2021, we're looking at opportunities of how we can reach out to people. Until things get completely back to normal, we want to find any way we can to connect with people because we believe it's important. Life was never meant to be done alone. It was meant to be done together. So we're going to come together. We're going to serve God together. We're going to reach people for the gospel together. We're going to comfort one another together. We're going to heal the hurting together. We're going to do all these things through Christ who gives us strength. But it begins by believing the best. I'm going to ask you to stand, and if you're going through something today, I want you to know you're not alone. As great as our church is, there are people that are hurting in here. It's also amazing to me to watch people going through their own pain, their own hurt, and even in the midst of their own pain and their own hurt, they're still giving. They're still calling and taking care of other people. They're still loving one another. We have people that are going through cancer treatments that are writing letters for His Hands Extended. We've got people who are going through viruses and sicknesses of their own, and they're trying to call and check on other people. We've got people who are wonderful people. Don't mistake their outward person for what's really going on the inside. People are hurting. But I believe that God is doing something extraordinary in our church. God is healing us not only physically, but spiritually, emotionally. Some of you are going through some depression, some dark days right now. God's taking care of you. God's healing you. God's touching you. Some of you are going through some of the worst days of your life. Just hold on. Because God's working. Amen. Amen. Just spend a moment in prayer, and Pastor Caleb will dismiss you shortly, but I believe that God wants to encourage you before you leave here today.